Have you ever felt that you have accomplished, you have reached the end of your goal? Have you ever felt that you have already reached the end of your goals? Have you ever said to yourself, I have accomplished everything. I've done everything that I set out to do. I've done everything that is required of me. There's nothing else left for me to do. Probably many people who have already reached their retirement age or are nearing it may have such a sense of entitlement to sit back, relax, and enjoy their golden years. My children are out of the house. The house mortgage has already been paid off. I have a substantial amount of savings to live comfortably. Maybe some of you retired folks might say that. In the physical world, such entitlement may be justified. But in a spiritual world, where we are continually being renewed into the likeness of Christ, there is still much more work to be done. There is no such a thing as retirement for the redeemed children of God. In the third chapter of letter to the Philippians that we are going to look at today, Paul once again is dealing with the Jewish leaders about their false teachings, especially legalism. Just like in the Galatians, you know Galatians. But here, Paul is taking one step further, warning his fellow believers against complacency and encouraging them to stay the course of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can we guard ourselves against the spirit of complacency that can easily creep into our lives? Spiritual complacency gives way to a false sense of security. It leads to prideful attitude of, I've got it all. Furthermore, it leads to a sense of superiority that makes us look down on others and say, I am better than you. I am better than you. But in today's passage, Paul clearly says to us that we are far from completing the goal that God has set up for us. And there is no justification whatsoever to hang it up, relax, and brag about our spirituality. So this morning, I'd like us to look at four major points Paul is making in this passage. So why don't we, if you have the passage on the... Oh, good. So why don't we read this passage together? Why don't we do that? Not that I have already obtained all this, or I have clearly already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Thank you. So if you have this green insert, and here's an outline for today's message. So if you could follow that along, that might help you. First, Paul says, in the first half of verse 12, he said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Many of us have been Christians for many years and have served the Lord in many ways. We want to give ourselves a pat on the back every once in a while for many years of faithfulness and dedication to Him. And there's nothing wrong about that. It is a very natural human response. But here comes the sobering reminder from Paul. He says that we do not yet have all we should have, nor have we come to a point of perfection in our spiritual journey. It is almost as if a runner sprints toward the finish line only to find out that it is just a halfway point. Same can be said about our Christian life. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Here, Paul says that he has not yet obtained all this. But what is this, all this he's talking about? What is this, all this Paul is talking about here? Although we see here in the text, English text, obtained all this, the original Greek text, you know, where the New Testament was written, the original Greek text has no mentioning of an object, all this. There's no mentioning of that. That's because it is obvious from the verses that precede it. So, what is that he has not yet obtained? Well, in order to find that out, we need to go back to verse 10. So, do you have it? Okay, good. It says, Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And he goes on to say in verse 11, and so to somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Here, Paul is simply saying that his ultimate goal is to know Christ fully. To know Christ fully. But in order to know him fully, he needs a resurrected body, which will be given him either when he is called to glory in heaven or when Christ comes back while he is still here. Paul helps us understand the already but not yet component of our faith. Paul is helping us understand here an already but not yet component of our faith. Yes, we have already been forgiven and saved by Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross. Yes, but we have not yet completed our faith journey. In fact, it will continue as long as the Lord allows us to remain here on earth, or until Christ comes back before he calls us to glory in heaven. The Philippians has the opposite problem of what the Galatians had. The Philippians had the opposite problem of what the Galatians had. You know, we already recently finished the book of Galatians, so probably this is a review to you. But the Galatians were misled by the false teaching and thought that believing in Jesus only wasn't enough, but had to observe the law, like circumcision. So do you remember that? The Philippians, on the other hand, put up the fight against the false teaching, claiming that only the faith in Jesus is enough. And they were right. They are right. But they took it to extreme. They took it to extreme. They, at least some of them, thought that they had already reached the point of perfection in their faith. They thought believing Jesus was the end of their journey. For this reason, they thought there is nothing else required of them. And to make it even worse, they may have even felt entitled to brag about their salvation and coast in their faith. And here, Paul is pointing out their erroneous view of Christian faith. The truth is, None of us can reach the finish line while on this earth. It is always progressive, and we are to put up the good fight and defend our faith daily, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7. Also, something that Paul is saying here is very striking. Very striking. That is, one of the spiritual goals we Christians should strive for is to share in Christ's sufferings. In verse 10, to share in Christ's sufferings. Unlike this world, which views the ultimate life's goal as pursuing security and comfort, the goal of Christians is to participate in his sufferings and become more like him. Here, I don't think Paul is saying here that Christians should never seek security and comfort in their lives. I don't think he's saying that. But his language makes it clear here that those should not be the ultimate goal of our lives. Our goal is to know Christ fully and fully identify with him. And the sufferings are the major part of it. Paul continues in the second part of verse 12, "But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Rather than being complacent and coasting in his faith, as some of the Philippians are doing, Paul goes on to say here that he will press on in his faith. He will press on in his faith. The original meaning of the verb press on is to persecute. So press on, the original meaning is to persecute. It's often used to describe a pursuer who hunts down his prey. Paul is saying here that with the same intensity, we are to pursue what we have not yet taken hold of. You know, it is very interesting though. It is interesting that Paul, as the former enemy of Christ, used to persecute Christians. But now, he, as his servant, uses the same word to describe himself, not as a persecutor of Christians, but as a pursuer of the goals Christ has laid out for him. Paul says here that we are to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of us. We are to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of us. Is he talking about our salvation here? Is he talking about our salvation? Yes and no. If he were talking only about our salvation, then he will not exhort us to take hold of it. For Christ has already taken hold of us by saving us. Salvation cannot be taken hold of by our human efforts and accomplishments. It is a gift to us from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the question still remains, what is it that Paul is saying to us that we should take hold of? What is it? Well, instead of our salvation, it should rather be taken to mean as the reasons why he saved us. So instead of our salvation, it should mean as the reasons why Christ saved us. And we are to actively pursue them in our lives. So, what are some reasons for our salvation? What are some reasons? Well, Christ saved us to make us holy. Christ saved us to be salt and light in this world. Christ saved us to love one another and serve one another. Christ saved us to endure sufferings and fully depend on Him. Christ saved us to forgive those who have wronged us. And the list goes on and on. And we are called to actively pursue these reasons for our salvation as long as we live here on this earth. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, Paul goes on to say, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Here, Paul is repeating what he has already said in verse 12. Namely, the race isn't over yet. Race is not over yet. I have not reached the finish line. I cannot let my guard down. I am still a work in progress, pursuing these goals Christ has for me. Paul is saying here that he's not there yet. He's not there yet. He hasn't completed the race. But he is saying he's going in the right direction. He's going in the right direction. Why do we know that? Because he says that every day he reminds himself to forget what's in the past and reach toward what is in front of him. When he says forget, he said forgetting what's in the past. When he says forget, Paul does not mean that we should go into denial, thinking as if these past events, good and bad, in our lives never happened. So he's not saying that we should go into denial, thinking these past events never happened. They happen for a reason. Because nothing happens, good or bad, nothing happens unless God allows it. We should not erase them from our memories. So then, what does he mean by forgetting? What does he mean by forgetting? He means it is a daily exercise of letting them not influence who we are in Christ, namely our freedom in Him. It is a daily exercise of letting them not influence who we are in Christ Jesus. It is a daily exercise. It means if you do today, then you don't have to do it tomorrow. Rather, it is a continuous exercise of doing this. Because he said forgetting. Forgetting is in present tense, which means it means continual action. So every day, like you run in the morning, or like you lift weights in the morning, this is a daily exercise of letting them not influence us. Dwelling on our past negative experiences weighs us down and makes us unable to continue in a race. And likewise, dwelling on our past accomplishments makes us prideful and hampers good running. And this is what the Philippians had problem with. Both are detriment to running a race. Both are detriment to pursuing the goals of our salvation. Paul says we are to keep our eyes up, keep our focus on what is in front of us, not behind us. Keep our focus on what is in front of us, not behind us. The verb to strain toward, the strain toward the goals, the verb to strain toward carries a meaning of stretching out muscles to the limit. Stretching out our muscles to the limit. Have you seen a football player reaching his arm toward the end zone to score a touchdown? Have you seen that on TV? Or have you seen a runner arching her back to cut the tape at the finish line? In the same way, we are to stretch every inch of our spiritual muscles to reach the goal. Maybe you're saying, oh, I don't do exercise. You know, I don't stretch muscle. But we're talking about the spiritual muscles. It has nothing to do with the daily exercise. So, are you flexing your spiritual muscles today? This morning, how are you doing as far as reaching the goals of our salvation? How are you doing? What about reaching the goals of holiness? Do our actions and speech reflect God's holiness? At work, in school, do our actions and speech reflect God's holiness? What about reaching the goal of witnessing for Christ among the lost? Do our neighbors across the street see the love of Christ in us when they come and knock on our doors? What about reaching the goal of loving and serving one another? As a body of Christ here at FBC, are we compassionate and kind to one another? Are our hearts of compassion and kindness also being translated into concrete actions of serving one another? What about reaching the goal of forgiveness? Are we not harboring anger and resentment toward anyone right now? Are we making any effort to reconcile with the person? Are we willing to forgive the person even if he or she does not reciprocate with our feelings? And what about reaching the goal of enduring sufferings and fully depending on Him? When the going gets tough, instead of questioning His existence, are we spending time in His Word and prayer for guidance and comfort? Lastly, verse 14, Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul clearly says here that we should run the race not merely to complete it, but to win the prize. Not merely to complete it, just to complete it, but to win the prize. Most runners are able to run the entire race, but only a few, only a handful of them, can win the actual prize. But Paul is not saying here that in a spiritual race, only some of us get the prize and the rest of us don't. But the point here is intensity once again. Intensity. The message Paul is trying to convey to us here is this. As you run the race, you should not be casual and callous about it, but rather serious and intentional about it. As a matter of fact, we have already received the prize. We have already received the prize. The prize is Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. Although we have the prize already in our hands, we are yet to experience the full extent of joy He can provide. We have the prize, but we are not there yet. We are yet to experience the full extent of joy that Jesus can provide. This is almost like we know what we are going to be getting on Christmas Day. We know what we are getting on Christmas Day, but still have to go through each day with much anticipation. But this joy will be completed when we see Jesus face to face someday. But until then, we must continue in the race. And the goal is what keeps us focused on the prize and also keeps us motivated about the full experience of joy that someday will be ours at the end of our journey. Lastly, at the end of verse 14, Paul says that God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. God called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. But are we living each day of our lives worthy of this great calling? Are we living each day of our lives worthy of this great calling? In his letter to Christians in Thessalonica, Paul prayed that they will become worthy of God's calling. I don't know if you have that. Okay, good. He says in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of this calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith." I wonder what helped the Thessalonians become worthy of his calling. I wonder what helped them. The answer should be the goals of their salvation. Accomplishing the goals of our salvation prepares us to become worthy of heaven and eternal communion with our Heavenly Father. We go there someday. We get there someday, but we need to become worthy of it. And these goals that we looked at will help us prepared for that wonderful day. So, as we begin this new year, we still have the race to run. We still have many goals of salvation to accomplish. And as we do so, there's nothing more appropriate than coming to the Lord's table and remember what He's done, each one of us. Each one of us. Because He is the reason why we are here this morning. And He is the reason why we continue in the race. So, let's, gentlemen, if you could come forward and prepare for that communion. Well, communion, as you know, maybe for you, communion is a time of remembrance for believers in Jesus Christ to commune with their Lord and Savior. So, if you have not yet trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I ask that you let the bread and cup pass you by when they come to your pew. So, please do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 4. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, broke, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So, I'd like to ask Mr. Weno to thank for that bread.
I pray in Japanese. Kamisama, あなたの一人息子イエス・キリストを十字架にかけ、私たちの罪のあがないをしてくださったことを感謝いたします。この私たちには及びもつかないこの恵みを与えてくださって感謝いたします。このパンを取り、私たちの体を支える、これを通してまたあなたへの感謝と喜びが持てることを感謝します。 このようなことをイエス・キリストの御名においてお祈りいたします。アーメン。